2FM Mornings
with Laura Fox
Podcast.
Sponsored by Maxall. From kids' lunches to tonight's dinner, you'll find bags more to get you through the week at Maxall.
Now, all friends, all flames and some cheating, but that's enough about the 2FM Christmas party because Vicky Notaro is here and her new book deals with all of those things too. A long story tells the tale of Alex and Tara and a whole lot more. Vicky, you are very welcome back to the show. How are you?
Thank you for having me. Delighted to be here.
I'm delighted that you're here to talk about your second book. I swallowed it whole. I enjoyed it so much. I didn't think I could enjoy anything after reality check, but you're really outdoing yourself the whole time. The book and all of your books so far really focus on female friendships, and they can be quite complex, but what were the most fun parts to write about for your book, Vicky?
Well, the fun part for me was the fact that I was writing in both Tara and Alex's voices.
Yeah.
So the narrative goes back and forth between the two of them. And because of that, you get the contradictions and you get their kind of crossed wires in real time. And it just makes for a pacey novel. So it's about these two women who've been best friends since they were 11. They're now pushing 40, although Tara is an actress and she's shaved a couple of years off her real age. And it's just, it talks about kind of the jealousies and the bitterness and the resentment, as well as the deep love that they have for one another. So I think, like you said, the female friendships are just so complex and have so many facets to them, and it was just really fun to explore.
It's so funny and so well written that I saw myself taking sides. That, like, that when I was going into another chapter about the person whose side I wasn't on, I was like, I don't care what you say.
I know.
And I was like, oh, bring me back to the other side right now. It's really well done. But would any of your besties right now be trying to read between the lines, see if you're trying to take a dig?
I hope not. No, I don't think so. I don't think so. Although everything that ever happens to me comes out somehow in my fiction.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's never in its original state, but it's always like I remember the feeling of something.
Yeah.
And that kind of, that tends to come out. But no, I don't think any of my besties will be hauling me over the coals anyway. I hope not.
Do you think that because there are more social milestones that are expected of women, that the jealousy is a little more common among us instead of males?
I think so. And I think social media, and particularly Instagram, has a lot to do with that, because we know it's a highlight reel and we tend to like flaunt our successes. A lot of us also flaunt our failures. That's life. But I think we're more pitted against each other just in society. Mm. We blame the patriarchy.
Yeah. Love it.
Yeah, we're just naturally more pitted. I think lads are just a bit more laissez-faire with each other, whereas women are, we're always, if not competing, then kind of watching what the other one's doing.
Yeah.
And that can be quite difficult. And I think when I wrote Long Story, I really wanted to explore the idea that you can love somebody so ardently and also have all of these other issues with them. And also, the friendships require work, and we're often guilty of giving our romantic relationships all the work. Like, there's no such thing really as friendship counselling, is there?
No. And it's so funny you say that, because that's something that's kind of been coming up more and more, you know, in my day-to-day life, in my friends' day-to-day lives and stuff like that. It's the thoughts that breaking up with a friend is actually harder.
And I think it's harder.
Yeah.
It's less kind of well thought of, like, it's less, people are less sympathetic, I think, and it's harder because I think there's a lot more guilt with romance. It's, you know, it's, there's a sexual part to that, that, and there's kind of, there's all of those energies that you can kind of understand the heartbreak. With friendship, it's like, if you break up with your friend, are you a terrible person? What did you do? Like, you know? So I think, it's very complicated, but I think everybody, even if you haven't had a massive blow up with one of your friends, I think everybody can relate to the insidious nature that can creep up within a really close female friendship, and the love as well. The love is so important.
That's it. And I think, you know, we're very good at, like, celebrating the highs and the intensity of it all, but then sometimes we don't address the niggly bits that you would in a relationship where you would go, you're really wrecking my head right now.
That's it. Honestly, I think friendship counselling should be a thing. Maybe I'll set up a business and really cash in on that, because some of us could really use it, especially with females. It's like there's often a group dynamic at play, right? That's why I wanted to focus on two friends. They have other mutual friends, a lot of other mutual friends, and their families are intertwined, but it's the two of them that are the best friends.
Yeah.
And I remember as a little girl being obsessed with this concept of the best friend and kind of owning somebody to that degree. And I had no sisters, so my friends have always been extremely important to me. So I think there's a lot of pressure on that best friend dynamic, isn't there?
Yeah, and a little bit too much pressure sometimes.
To the point where right now I don't think I have one best friend. And I always thought that I would, and I thought she'd be my maid of honour at my wedding. And, you know, life just doesn't really work out like that for everyone.
And that's okay.
And that's fine. I think at this moment in time, like at my book launch the other night, I was surrounded by so much love and so many friends. And it was almost, like my wedding, except less pressure. I didn't have to wear the uncomfortable dress.
Yeah. Except for you're just trying to make sales this
time.
Yeah,
exactly. Buy the book, buy the book.
You've managed to mix in some characters for the last book. Do you kind of feel like a whole Marvel universe?
Yes.
With all these loopers going in. I have to say that's one bit I was incredibly excited for, was seeing the characters from Reality Check creeping in a... just in a very blasé way.
Yeah, you don't have to have read Reality Check to enjoy a long story, but if you have, I love a Taylor Swift style Easter egg. My family have been referring to it as the Vicky Notaro cinematic universe.
Love it.
So I'm fine with that. And I've just finished working on a draft of my third novel and a couple of...
Sorry, what?
Yeah, I'm flat out. Flat out. But a couple of the characters from Long Story will pop up there too.
Okay, so this is what we're doing, is moving all these things.
I work about a year in advance.
Okay.
So yeah, that I'm already kind of onto the next project.
Is it something from your like publishing days that in your head that you're just constantly on the go the whole time and just really striking while the iron's hot?
Yeah, I think I was a magazine editor for a long time and I was used to a monthly deadline. Sometimes actually when I worked in newspapers, I had two magazines a week to get out. So I think I'm quite snappy. I've always been a fast writer to the point where my editor tries to slow me down sometimes. She's like, take the extra couple of weeks. And I'm like, nope, I'm on schedule here. I think definitely it's a good work ethic for me. But also, you know, I'm very privileged. This is kind of what I do full time now. I do this on my podcast. Yeah. And I'm a worker. You know, I feel guilty if I sit down too much. So
I know, but also there's a balance of trying to find that as well, because obviously, you know, you went out totally freelance into being an author, something you dreamed of for years and years. Then to just suddenly be doing it, you're like, well, I need to make this work. I need to stay going. But then do you find it very hard to pare back and just sit down and relax?
I'm very good at relaxing.
Oh, it's
almost too good, one might say. Quite sloth-like in my tendencies. But no, to be honest, when I get an idea for a book, I get really excited to write it. So, you know, I know I'm going on my holidays in a couple of weeks when all of this promotion for this book is done. And I just know that I'm going to get 10 ideas on that holiday. And my notes app is going to look like, thank God nobody else can understand it. My notes app is a scary place, but I can understand it. And then the narratives, the characters just come to me and I feel like it would be remiss to ignore them.
Yeah.
They're very persistent.
Speaking of, you know, going away, both of your books so far are set in the States in tandem with being set here. Your last one was obviously set in Kerry and Los Angeles. Yeah, and Long Story is set here. So you've got LA and big factors of LA. One of the things I found really interesting was that, like, even the details of going to the supermarket, like to Air One and stuff, that you've like picked up, I can physically like see what I'm picking up, the item that your character has done.
Well, it was really important to me to know what I was talking about.
Yeah.
So with Reality Check, I spent 3 weeks in LA.
For research
purposes, of course. Nothing else. No crack whatsoever. And then with Long Story, it's set between Dublin and New York primarily. And I love New York. I think I've been there 17 times.
Okay.
So I know New York inside out. So it was really important for me to get in bits I love. Like, I love this supermarket called Zabar's that I remember seeing as a child in You've Got Mail, the film. And it still looks exactly the same now in 2025. So getting stuff like that in, these like New York institutions, and then also like cool hip new restaurants and stuff, it was really important for me to make the world feel as real as possible and to just to have a clue what I'm talking about. Because I hate that if I'm reading a book and something is being described and it's not accurate. That really annoys me.
So this is one of your pet peeves that you've made sure you're not carrying through.
Exactly.
In the middle of all of this and this female friendship that we've got, Tara and Alex, Sean Sweeney comes in and just kind of blows it all up into smithereens. How does that affect the friendship of the girls?
So Sean Sweeney is a former flame of both of them. They've known him since they were kids at stage school and he's always been the cool guy. But while Tara knows that Alex had a dalliance with him, Alex does not know that Tara did.
Okay.
So he writes a memoir and it comes out and it causes absolute ructions at a really bad time for both of them when there's something going on in Tara's marriage already. So it's quite explosive, but they always swore that they'd never let him come between them. So they really try not to.
Okay.
And then chaos ensues.
Okay, fair enough. How do you think that, you know, social media and socials in general have revitalized publishing, or do you think that there's actually more work for authors?
I think for someone like me who's quite social media literate, it's no skin off my nose to be posting. I probably post too much. In fact, the algorithm tends to punish me when I post the book cover too much. I think for authors who've been doing this for a long time, maybe they're a bit older or they're not very confident or comfortable in the medium, it's a lot of extra work. Like, you know, they're happy out writing their books. They don't need to have this presence. So I think it's a balance, like everything. I think with BookTok, it's actually not so much what the author themselves does. It's people loving their book and kind of promoting it on their behalf.
Yeah.
So what you really want is book talk to love your book and it to blow up by itself.
It's mad because it's just the age old word of mouth. It's just That's now it. Word of mouth is in a different
exactly.
form.
Exactly. And you know, I have danced around on TikTok with this book to promote it.
Quite literally.
Literally in the Phoenix Park. But I only got like 700 views.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can dance around and make a show yourself and it doesn't always fly. It is word of mouth. Absolutely. And it's so important. And that's why doing stuff like this, coming on the radio, going on the telly and just talking about your book is so important.
I know, I'm promoting it and it is kind of the perfect time as well because it's the 3rd of June right now. A lot of people
holidays.
Are going to be heading off on their holidays. You can get it in all good bookstores and it's definitely worth the read. Speaking of reading, Vicky, in all this time of like writing books, like what are you reading yourself these days?
So I've been on a steady diet of romance novels.
Of course.
For the past while. Of course, because what else? I've read a lot of Abby Jimenez. She's huge on book talk.
Okay.
Like enormous. Her latest book is called Say You'll Remember Me. Nice little Taylor Swift lyric.
Yeah.
She's very clever. And it's brilliant. It's about a sexy vet. I loved it.
I'm anything that's a little bit sexy, don't
you? I do. Yeah. I love a sexy book. I love Jackie Collins. Like, I love Marion Keyes. Like, I kind of have comfort books that I revisit.
Yeah.
And then when I'm writing a first draft of a new book, I try not to read anything like what I'm writing.
Okay.
So I'll read thrillers or memoirs or something then. And then now that I'm in the kind of in-between period, I can read my contemporary fiction. There's loads of great books coming out. I have a stack, yay high, for my holidays and I can't wait to
Amazing.
Delve into it. Yeah, I'm so excited.
Long story and reality check. Obviously the first two installments of
the cinematic universe
of Vicky Nataro. But that does lead me into, like, is the goal here not just to write books but to get these books turned into, you know, film adaptations or TV shows?
I love that. I'm a TV addict. Like, it's my passion in life is to watch series. I'd absolutely love it. I'd love to write a fresh screenplay that's not necessarily an adaptation. I need to get up and actually do that instead of talking about it all the time. I spent the last
with
few
all
weeks,
of your spare time.
Yeah.
Woman who has a third book written
but
by the time
what?
Her second book comes out.
I literally rewatched the entirety of Girls, Lena Dunham series, in like 10 days recently because, you know, I grab pockets of time, and if I'm grabbing a pocket of time, I'm watching telly.
Yeah.
So I was watching Girls, marvelling at how magnificent it is and thinking I really need to get up and do one of these myself.
Okay. So that's kind of the next
space.
Thing. Fantastic.
Yeah.
We absolutely will.
But buy my book so that they are more interested in me.
Vicky's book is of course called Long Story. It is out now. It is available in all good bookstores. You can buy it in the Kindle version as well.
You can and Audible as well if you're way inclined.
Yeah. Oh my god, it's all going.
I don't read it though. It's an actress. Yeah.
Vicky, thank you so much for coming in. Vicky Nataro's new book, Long Story, like we just said, is out right now, and we will be right back after these.
2FM Mornings
with Laura Fox
Podcast.
Sponsored by Maxall. From kids' lunches to tonight's dinner, you'll find bags more to get you through the week at Maxall.